This is the Slaw Sports Show on Anchor.fm, with weekly episodes highlighting and breaking down the biggest stories across sports. Make sure to keep up with the latest episodes and breaking news on Twitter by following at Slaw Sports Show, and keep up to date with the latest breaking news around the NFL. The official site of the show, knoble87.wixsite.com/slawsportsreport. And now, here's your host, Cole Noble.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. As always, I'm your host, Cole Noble, a.k.a. Slaw, and welcome to draft season. That's right, we're back talking the NFL draft. We're just right over, I think, 5 weeks away from the official start of the NFL draft, April 28th on the calendar. We are excited, getting ready for it, getting pumped up, getting jacked, and ready to go for this year's NFL draft. It's a lot to go into it, and a lot to be excited about, all these prospects, all these teams, and of course, our very own NFL draft show that we will be having for the entire first round, as always, here on the Slaw Sports Show. But today, we will be unveiling our mock draft 2.0. The first mock draft I did was back in February. A lot has changed since then, so I'm excited to dive into the new adjustments we have in our mock draft for this time around, our second go at it. So we're going to do, the usual, first round picks 1 through 32. Multiple trades have transpired in the past week. We got a new 28, I believe, or a new 29 in the Kansas City Chiefs, getting that pick from the Miami Dolphins in exchange for Tyreek Hill. So we have a lot of new changes that we have to talk about and unveil in our mock draft. So we're going to be doing it live here today on the Slaw Sports Show for this week's episode. And then we'll be posting the full write-up of our mock draft on the website as well that you can find at the link in our Twitter bio at the Slaw Sports Show. So let's pull it up. Let's go ahead and get started with our 2022 NFL mock draft 2.0. Here we go. So right off the bat, the Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock. The first pick in the NFL draft for the second year in a row. And really with the Jaguars pick, there's a lot to consider here. The first go at it, I had the Jaguars going with Evan Neal, the tackle out of Alabama. But since then, they franchise tagged Cam Robinson. They went out and got a beast of an offensive guard in Brandon Sheriff in free agency. And I'm going to be changing it up here today with this first pick from what I had the first time around. And there's a lot of variety. And a dark horse has been Trayvon Walker. The last, few mock drafts I've seen most recently, especially a couple of them that I checked out this morning. But instead, we're going to go with the best player in the draft. We're going to go with Aiden Hutchinson with the first overall pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's just a great fit for what the Jaguars need now after free agency. With free agency starting to dwindle down, Aiden Hutchinson, by far the best prospect in this year's draft. So there's a lot to be excited about with this guy going forward for the Jaguars defense. Teaming up with Josh Allen on that defensive line for years to come is going to be ideally in their situation. I do love the fit for Aiden Hutchinson going to the Detroit Lions. And there's a lot of buzz out there that the Detroit Lions are actively trying to figure out what the offer will be to move up to the number one overall pick. Because as we have it here, the Jacksonville Jaguars could be interested. But if Detroit, loves him well enough and wants to move up to the number one overall pick, I wouldn't be surprised if they do so a month from now in April. But as for now, for our mock draft 2.0, I do have Aiden Hutchinson being the number one overall pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars on that defensive line. Just a freak of a guy on that defensive line. Next up, number two overall pick, we have the Detroit Lions. And this is an interesting pick. For the Detroit Lions, could they be in trade-up territory? I just talked about it. It's an option. But where they're at as a franchise, I don't see trading up being the right move for, what they could do with this team. There's a lot of holes they still have to fill. I don't know if trading up would be the right move here. But with Aiden Hutchinson off the board, obviously their number one pick on their has to be their number one guy on their board in Detroit for Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell that they want to add to their team. So now they're sitting in a scenario where a lot's on the table still. I mean, it's obviously the second pick of the draft. But let's pull up this real quick. The odds here, via FanDuel Sportsbook, odds to be the second overall pick in the 2022 NFL Draft. Malik Willis, quarterback out of Liberty, has the best odds, tied with Kyle Hamilton, and then that Trayvon Walker. Really starting to get a lot of buzz here as of late and jumping up draft boards. So it's interesting to see, you know, how this is looking right now in the odds scenario. And we're going to take the favorite here with our mock draft 2.0 with the Detroit Lions. We will be going with Malik Willis. Here we go. Malik Willis, quarterback out of Liberty. I just think that he has the potential in Detroit to become the franchise quarterback that this team needs long term for the organization. And they're in a, you know, perfect spot right now with, you know, drafting Malik Willis over the other quarterbacks in this year's class. I think Malik Willis has the most upside and the most potential out of the Kenny Picketts, the Matt Corrals, the Desmond Ridders. And I think going to Detroit would be a perfect situation for Malik Willis. They revamped their offense this past offseason, you know, adding in DJ Chark, re-signing some key guys at wide receiver as well. They have a lot of weapons, a nice offensive line that they're trying to build over there in Detroit. And they still have Jared Goff under contract. And I think one more year of Jared Goff trying to mentor Malik Willis before eventually handing over the reins to him to become this franchise quarterback will be a perfect situation and environment for Malik Willis to thrive in his professional career. It's a little bit of a bold pick by the Detroit Lions with the second overall pick, taking the upside here and, you know, banking heavily on that potential going number two, you know, taking a quarterback in this situation for the Detroit Lions. I think that's the right move for this franchise going forward. With Aiden Hutchinson off the board, it's a no-question pick for me to take Malik Willis this high. I think this guy is everything he's advertised to be and more with his potential going forward, being a quarterback for the Lions. So this is a pick I do like with Aiden Hutchinson off the board. Detroit taking Malik Willis for me is an easy pick. I think it jumps in right heavily with this next one with the Houston Texans. And again, I've seen a lot of stuff here with the top five, especially maybe even into this top three, a lot of talk of Trayvon Walker, the edge out of Georgia, but we're going to keep having him slide. Instead, we're going to go with an offensive lineman here for the Houston Texans in Evan Neal out of Alabama. I think Evan Neal could be a premier bookend tackle in the National Football League, and I think he'd be a perfect fit with what they've got going on in Houston, the long-term rebuild that they're doing. And if they, you know, there's been a lot of rumors out of Houston this past offseason, this past free agency that's still currently going on with Laremy Tunsil, and, you know, especially with the Tyreek Hill trade in Miami, the Tunsil talks came back up in that trade they made with the Dolphins. But I think even in long term, if they decide to keep Laremy Tunsil in the fold for this team, Evan Neal, Laremy Tunsil on that offensive line would be a perfect one and two tackles to have for the long term for this team in Houston. And, you know, depending on who the quarterback is, you have to protect them first and foremost. You know, if you don't have the guy in house right now, you at least want to get the anchors in place. And I think tag teaming Evan Neal on one side with Laremy Tunsil on the other would be a great situation for the Houston Texans, you know, as opposed to targeting a defense here with this pick, targeting a guy who could be a difference maker and a potential, you know, long-term project where you try to build him into something dominant and ferocious on the defensive line. Instead, I go with the safe, reliable pick here, getting, you know, the best offensive lineman, in my opinion, in this year's draft, and Evan Neal. Guy's a monster, ready to absolutely be an anchor on an offensive line from day one. And how can the Houston Texans turn that down with the stake of their franchise right now? So next up, we got the New York Jets and still some quality talent, obviously, on the board here at pick number four. We're going to go double up here with another offensive lineman, and we're going to go with Ike Ekwonu out of NC State. And Ike Ekwonu is another guy that I really love in this year's draft. It's a guy who's really done it all on the offensive line. You can put him at guard, you can put him at tackle. But I think with the Jets here, taking him has to be the move if you're Joe Douglas. Just think of the options now you have on your offensive line. With Mekhi Becton on one side, you added some guys in free agency. Last year in the first round with your second pick, you took Elijah Vera Tucker. Now, Ike Ekwonu, and Elijah Vera Tucker probably form the best guard duo in the National Football League if Joe Douglas elects to go this route with his first pick in the NFL draft. And still, we see a start, you know, a continued slide at some of these defensive players. Three straight offensive guys, you know, coming off the board in my 2.0 mock draft. But Ike Ekwonu is a guy that I like, and I think is a good fit for the Jets, especially stealing him from the next team on the board, you know, their fellow New York rival in the New York Giants. They're obviously in the, obviously, of course, in the market for an offensive lineman as well. But I think the Jets will, you know, try to steal one in front of the Giants that I think that they're highly interested in. So I think the Jets come away with Ike Ekwonu with number 4, their first pick of the top 10, as we can see. Which means next up, we do have the next team in New York, the New York Giants. And they've done a great job in free agency, made a couple splashes here and there, especially on the offensive line, added two premier guards that they needed. Still have Andrew Thomas at tackle. But the big thing here for the Giants is they still need another tackle to really solidify that offensive line around Daniel Jones, to make sure this offense is as capable as it can be next season. So let's give them that tackle. Let's go with Charles Cross here at number 5, going to the New York Giants out of Mississippi State. Offensive tackle, a great guy. Again, can be a bookend tackle. Really push this offense to where they want to go as a franchise. So I'm excited to see what happens here for the Giants. They, you know, another team with two picks in the top 10. But their first one here, solidify an anchor, solidify a top-tier talent on the offensive line. Charles Cross is a guy I've seen gone as high as, you know, 4 and gone as low as in the teens. So, I mean, actually, I've seen him go into the 20s as well, which is absolutely absurd to me. I easily see Charles Cross being a top 10 to top 5 talent. Getting him here at 5, the Giants just make a statement with their first pick that they want their guy to fill that last need they have on their offensive line, to make sure it's as good as it can be for Brian DeBall's new offense that he's going to be bringing in New York. So now we have the Carolina Panthers. And this is where things get interesting for the Carolina Panthers, because yet again, they struck out at the quarterback position so far throughout the free agency. They did it last year. They're doing it again this year. Their only options are Sam Darnold right now, and I believe they reached out to Cam Newton to hopefully maybe bring him back if all else fails. But now Malik Willis off the board, so Carolina Panthers aren't in the market for him. They have done their homework extensively on Kenny Pickett out of Pittsburgh. I don't see a quarterback here for the Carolina Panthers. In my opinion, I think within, you know, between now and April, I think the medicals come back for one Jimmy Garoppolo, and the Carolina Panthers will make a move to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo and keep their first round pick. And now with, and you know, with what I'm imagining, their quarterback position secure, the top 3 offensive linemen off the board, the Carolina Panthers now will have to go with best player available. And in my opinion, that is going to be Kyle Hamilton out of Notre Dame at safety. This guy is a absolute ball hawk in the secondary. I love his game. He's, you know, arguably one of the top 2 premier talents and top 2 prospects in this year's draft. But there's a little bit of a stigma with the position, drafting him high. But I think the Carolina Panthers would be smart making this decision. Last year, took a defensive back in the first round in J.C. Horn. I think they do it again this year in Kyle Hamilton. That will just allow the defense more opportunities and another weapon to make plays on the back end. And it also allows the Carolina Panthers to move Jeremy Chinn back in, down in that box role, back down closer to the line of scrimmage where, you know, he really excels in his game. And you have now your top tier safety on the back end that can play the deep thirds, play the deep middle in coverage and try to get turnovers that way. I think this is the best interest for this team. And with the way the board has shaked up right now, Kyle Hamilton, the best player off the board, has to be coming off here at 6 for the Carolina Panthers, especially if, like I said, they lock up a quarterback before April, say a Jimmy Garoppolo. Kyle Hamilton will easily fall right into the Carolina Panthers' laps and be a, you know, slam dunk pick to easily make here at number 6. So next up, we have the Giants back up on the board. And what is Joe Schoen going to do the second time? The first time, he went with Charles Cross out of Mississippi State to solidify his offensive line. Now I have him bulking up the other side of the ball on the defensive line. We're going to go with Kayvon Thibodeau, which means a continued slide of everyone's favorite this year, Trayvon Walker, as of the past couple of weeks. We're going to do it with Kayvon Thibodeau out of Oregon. This guy, he's sliding a little bit, but he's a freak. I mean, this guy is upside of, you know, potential Myles Garrett caliber at the position. But, you know, there's a little bit of some question marks with his attitude, with his heart. You know, not physical, but, you know, the mental, the motivation to play football, being a football guy. All that stuff is knocking Kayvon Thibodeau down the board, you know, and a lot of teams' draft boards. From interviews they had during the combine, there's going to be, you know, hopefully getting to meet him even more throughout the process leading up to April. But for the Giants, getting a guy whose caliber is up there of a potential Myles Garrett on the defensive line and Kayvon Thibodeau, a little bit of a project guy you're going to have to work on. But adding him to that defensive line with Azeez Ojulari, who they took in the second round last year, will just be a good combo to have on that defensive line to create some pressure and some havoc in the NFC East. And a good, you know, overall long-term duo. You know, honestly, two building blocks that you're going to be building on long-term in this franchise on that defensive line. So I think the Giants will be excited about this pick. I'm excited to see him fall down to 7 and be able to snag him here. Now at 8, we have the Atlanta Falcons, and honestly, I'm tempted. I'm tempted to do it. I think I'm going to make a trade. I think I'm going to make a trade here as the official GM of this mock draft for all 32 teams. I'm going to do a trade with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to move Atlanta down to 20 and move Pittsburgh here to number 8. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are in the market for a potential quarterback that they're going to want to get here at 8. So I'm going to have them slide with the Atlanta Falcons. I think Atlanta, after moving on from Matt Ryan, should be in a huge market to try to get a potential pick here in exchange, maybe a 2023 first rounder from the Pittsburgh Steelers in order to move up for a quarterback next year. So the Steelers moving up to 8 on my mock draft via the Atlanta Falcons, and I will have them selecting their guy at quarterback, Kenny Pickett, out of Pittsburgh, keeping him at home. So Kenny Pickett here, quarterback in Pittsburgh, stays in Pittsburgh after trading up with the Atlanta Falcons. I like this decision. This is what I had on my first mock draft, I believe, at 20, but I think the way it's going now, two quarterbacks are most definitely going to fall in the top 10, and the Pittsburgh Steelers aren't going to be waiting to 20 to get their guy. They've done a lot of research on Kenny Pickett. I see Mitchell Trubisky signing being more of a bridge type of, you know, situation that happened with Mitch Trubisky. You think about what happened there in Chicago, signing Mike Glennon to a slightly similar two-year contract. You know, Glennon's was a lot less of a deal than what Mitch Trubisky will be getting in Pittsburgh. By, you know, what happened? The Chicago Bears traded up and still took Mitch Trubisky anyways. I see that same situation happening now with the Pittsburgh Steelers on the other end for Mitch Trubisky. They signed him in the offseason to a two-year deal, and now they trade up, in my opinion, and take Kenny Pickett because I think they believe he will be their long-term answer at quarterback. So they're going to trade up and make sure that they get him here with the Atlanta Falcons. And like I said, the best move here for the Falcons is trading back and trying to get another first-round pick next year that will give them the arsenal to move up for a quarterback after moving on from Matt Ryan. Next year's a lot stronger of a quarterback class. So trade down now here and start looking into next year what you can do after riding out Marcus Mariota for a year. So now at 9, we have the Atlanta Falcons. And okay, I'll stop the slide here. I have Trayvon Walker falling here out of Georgia. Trayvon Walker to the Seattle Seahawks. This is a guy who was an absolute freak. I mean, let me pull this up right quick. His relative athletic score, 9.99 RAS. Look at these numbers out of him. 40-yard dash, 4.51, has a 2.62 20-yard split. His three cone drill, 6.89, is fantastic at his size. Vertical, 35.5. These numbers are insane out of Trevon Walker. But I do think he starts to slide. I'm not as high as him as the rest of the media, NFL media are right now, pushing up, pushing this narrative up that he could be a potential top three pick, that, he's a dark horse to be the number one pick off the board. I definitely see him being a top 10 talent, but I see him sliding into the back end of this top 10, especially with, the Detroit Lions and the Pittsburgh Steelers that I have trying to make some noise and go after a quarterback. Trevon Walker would be a steal here for the Seattle Seahawks and exactly what they need. They are in the market here at 9 for a potential Matt Corral pick, in my opinion, trying to get a quarterback after trading Russell Wilson. But instead, I see them riding a year with, the Drew Lock, Geno Smith duo, try to keep what they can with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett intact, and now add a franchise player on defense, a defensive lineman that Seattle has desperately needed for a long time. In the last few years, trying to get a absolute stud on that defensive line. They can do so here with Trevon Walker, who falls right into their laps, and they'll be happy to take him here with the number 9 overall pick. Thanks to the trade with for Russell Wilson, they're able to make a move here and getting a guy who's, like I said, just an absolute freak. I think Seattle will be ecstatic for this pick and being able to move forward now with their guy on the defensive line that all the Seattle Seahawks fans should be excited for going into next season. So next up, we have the number 10 overall pick, the New York Jets, back on the clock. What does Joe Douglas do the second time around after taking Ike Ekwonu at number 4? We're going to have him go on the defensive side of the ball here, just like similar to what we had with the New York Jets, New York Giants, starting off going with an offensive lineman and turning around with their second pick, going with a defensive player that they think can develop into a franchise guy. And what do the Jets need on defense? Cornerbacks. Cornerbacks, 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 especially with the speed coming into that division. Let's give them the number one corner in the draft, one of the best coverage corners in the class, one of the fastest corners in the class, in Sauce Gardner. Ahmad Gardner out of Cincinnati. I love this guy. This guy's tape speaks for itself. He's an absolute menace on the back end at the cornerback position, especially on the outside. He's going to be the guy that is going to be tasked with guarding Tyreek Hill 2 games a year. Stephon Diggs potentially there 2 games a year out of the Buffalo Bills. And all of the number one receivers, Sauce Gardner will answer the bill and Rob Saleh is going to love this pick. I'm sure he's frustrated with the depth he has at the cornerback position right now, and Sauce Gardner immediately helps that glaring need on the Jets' defense, and getting him at 10, Joe Douglas would be ecstatic about it. Robert Saleh will love this pick. Jets fans, I know. I've seen it all over Twitter. They are begging for Sauce Gardner to come to 10 and come to New York. So we'll give it to him. Sauce Gardner here, coming to the New York Jets at number 10. I like this pick. I like this fit. It's a great situation that he's going to be going into, and the Jets need it desperately at the position. Next up, we have the Washington Commanders, fresh off getting their new quarterback in Carson Wentz, and also fresh off of losing one of their franchise players in Brandon Scherff on the offensive line. A glaring need now at offensive guard. Let's immediately fill it with, in my opinion, one of the best guards in the draft in Kenyon Green. This could be a little bit of a reach based on his average projection in this year's draft, but Kenyon Green is a guy that I also do like here for the Washington Commanders. Like I said, just filling that need at the offensive guard position, getting one of the top players at the position, top prospects at the position, filling that hole left by Brandon Scherff in free agency. This is going to be a guy Carson Wentz is going to love to have in front of him. There's still some more little tweaks that could happen on the Washington offensive line going into next season. I could see Samuel Cosmi making the move over to guard. On the other side, opposite of Kenyon Green, or they could maybe keep trying to push him into being a tackle. But I think, you know, a guard combo of Samuel Cosmi and Kenyon Green would work wonders for the Washington Commanders, for Ron Rivera's offense, and for Carson Wentz coming in now, being the new quarterback for this team. So Kenyon Green to the Washington Commanders. New team, new name. Their first round pick here being a Commander will be Kenyon Green. Now we got the Minnesota Vikings fresh off of getting some former Packers in free agency, including Chandon Sullivan and most notably Za'Darius Smith. They are able to re-sign, kind of just rework more of Kirk Cousins' contract, keep him on tat on offense. I don't see any glaring needs on the offensive side of the ball for the Minnesota Vikings. So this new pick, and this new regime in the front office of the Minnesota Vikings, we're going to have them take a defensive guy here in the post-Mike Zimmer era. You know, they did bring in Kevin O'Connell, an offensive guy, but I don't think they go offense this first-round pick. We're going to have them go on defense here, and just like we talked about with the Jets, the biggest need on defense for the Minnesota Vikings, you know, I was a big favorite on potentially getting an edge early in the draft process for Minnesota, but at this point, Za'Darius Smith, Danielle Hunter, locked in place now, being the two premier pass rushers on this team. We'll have them go with the second cornerback here off the board out of LSU. We'll go with Derek Stingley Jr., who is a guy that a lot of people are questioning. You look back at his career at LSU, the first 2 years, this guy was fantastic. Everyone was talking about how he was going to be one of the top players in this, or one of the top picks in this year's draft, would easily, by far, be one of the best prospects, would easily be the number one cornerback off the board. But then his past few seasons, had a little bit of mistakes, couple errors, and just did not look like the same player he was during his first 2 years out of LSU. So Minnesota, they're going to be taking a little bit of a risk here, but they have desperately been searching for a number one cornerback for years. They tried their luck with Patrick Peterson in free agency. That didn't work out. They need to get a guy. And this is a guy in Derek Stingley Jr. who I think that they can take the gamble on and try to see if they can groom him back into what he once was at the position. So this is a good fit, a big need by the Minnesota Vikings that can be filled here easily with Derek Stingley, rounding out that cornerback position and giving them a reliable option now in a division where they doesn't look like they're going to be a big wide receiver at this point, the Chicago Bears. They got Darnell Mooney being their number one receiver, the Green Bay Packers situation right now. Their number one receiver is Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard. But you do have, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown. And in Detroit, but I still think this is a need. I still think this is a need on defense for the Minnesota Vikings. Derek Stingley Jr. will come in and help fill that need for that defense in Minnesota. So now coming up for the second time around, we have the Houston Texans coming back on the board thanks to the trade with the Cleveland Browns in exchange for Deshaun Watson for their second pick. First pick, we had them going Evan Neal, tackle out of Alabama. This time around, I think we keep it to the offense. I really want to go a defensive pick here. For the Houston Texans, I really want them to go with a defensive player. Just where their franchise is at, they need, you know, franchise players that, you know, they can rely on in the long term. But all of this talk I've heard about Houston out of, you know, after trading Deshaun Watson was the immediate reaction from Ian Rappaport is that they are going to test their luck with Davis Mills and try to surround him with talent to see if he can be a guy that can be their franchise quarterback going forward. So let's give him a weapon. That's the only thing he doesn't have in this offense. You know, he's got Brandon Cooks, who I think could eventually be traded. Outside of that, he's got Nico Collins going into his second season. He needs another receiver. Let's do it. First receiver off the board. We got to give Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State. I like Wilson's game. I like what he can bring to this offense. I think he's a different type of receiver than they already have in this offense and one that they could need in the long term, being a reliable option for Davis Mills. And if they are true to their word, from what Ian Rappaport reported, that they want to see if Davis Mills has what it takes to lead this team and lead this franchise, I think they should surround him with the talent to do so. I think Garrett Wilson is the top wide receiver on the board in this year's draft. I like what he can do, just at the position. I like what Garrett Wilson can do. I like his tape. I think he, can transfer over well into the National Football League. So I think right here the Houston Texans get, arguably their number one receiver. And I think Garrett Wilson has the potential to do that coming into Houston and taking him from this next team, the Baltimore Ravens, who are a team where I've seen mocked a couple of times, getting a wide receiver, especially Garrett Wilson by name in a couple of mock drafts I've seen. So I think Houston steals him here. First wide receiver off the board goes Garrett Wilson to the Houston Texans. Thanks to their pick from the Cleveland Browns. I did in my first pick, my first mock draft, I did have Garrett Wilson going to this exact pick to Cleveland. I think he stays at 13, just this time to the Houston Texans. So next up, we'll go with the Baltimore Ravens. I talked about some people are mocking a receiver at this spot. I don't see it. In my opinion, I think that the Baltimore Ravens, more than any other team in the National Football League, value secondary more than any other unit on their roster. And after all the injuries that they had last season, I think they need more depth at corner. I think would be the best move here in the first round for the Baltimore Ravens. We're going to go with the Washington cornerback here, Trent McDuffie, for the Baltimore Ravens in this scenario here. They got their guy at safety in Marcus Williams. Now I think they get another premier cornerback to go alongside Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey and Trent McDuffie. He's a guy coming in as the being the number three guy at the position. Huge upside in Trent McDuffie and what he can do with his team. I'm excited to see it. I think it's a good pairing. I think he's a great fit for what this defense wants to run and how they want to operate with this team in terms of how they work defensively, what their team needs are. Trent McDuffie's a guy where his rare mix, he's got great size, great speed, exactly what John Harbaugh envisions in his quarterbacks, and fits the mold of the fellow cornerbacks at his position. So I think this could be the pick here to kick off the first round for the Baltimore Ravens at 14. McDuffie's just a guy I like. I think I had this mocked in my first one. That's just how much I love this. Tremendous quickness. He's tough. He's got great awareness. Everything that fits the mold of the Baltimore Ravens secondary. I like this pick going forward for the Baltimore Ravens. So next up, we got the Philadelphia Eagles' first of three picks in the first round. This one coming from the Miami Dolphins, their first one up. Oh, a lot of options. A lot of people still on the board. What do the Philadelphia Eagles do with their first of three picks? I think, honestly, in my first one, I think I might keep it the same. I think I had George Karlaftis coming out here with this first pick for... Yeah, that's what I had in the first one. We'll keep it the same. And George Karlaftis. George Karlaftis here, I believe out of Purdue, will be a good pick here. The Philadelphia Eagles desperately need some youth and production on that defensive line. I think Karlaftis can give them that. And one, I'm excited to see how he works on that defensive line in Philadelphia. They did add Hassan Reddick in free agency. They brought back Fletcher Cox, but George Karlaftis out of Purdue. Guy's got crazy instincts off the edge, was crazy productive out of Purdue, and I think would be a good pick here to kick off this first round for the Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to take a quick break here before we get to this next Eagles pick. Obviously, a little bit losing my voice, so we're going to get some water and come right back into this thing. Sit tight, and we'll finish up this mock draft here on the Sol Sports Show. So we'll continue this first round. Next up, the Eagles' second pick of back-to-back, first two of three in the first round. So first one, we had George Karlaftis out of Purdue. Like I said, adding youth to that defensive line is a big need that they can fill here with this first pick. Next up, I'll have the Eagles correcting the sins of Howie Roseman and getting the right receiver for the job in Drake London out of USC. Again, the same thing I had last time. For the Philadelphia Eagles, Drake London is just a good fit for this offense. What they desperately need on offense is a guy who can win contested coverages. And that is the best trait of Drake London in his game, is being able to win on the outside, win on one-on-one coverages. So it's just a great fit. A great fit and a great move by the Philadelphia Eagles, adding in Drake London here with this pick. Arguably, Drake London could be the best wide receiver in this year's draft. And I think this is a good situation for him to get into in Philadelphia, working alongside last year's Heisman winner and first-round pick, Devonta Smith. But Drake London, just crazy catch radius. Just going back to my scouting report here, doesn't have the ideal speed, but he dominates. 50-50 balls after the catch, seeks the contact, fights for the extra yards, everything the Eagles need in their offense. They get it here with their second first-round pick, in Drake London. So next up, we have the LA Chargers going into the second half of our first round. And the Chargers made some work in this offseason, some major work, most notably trading for Khalil Mack and also signing J.C. Jackson in free agency and Sebastian Joseph Day on the defensive line. They re-signed or extended Mike Williams at wide receiver. A lot of moves by the L.A. Chargers, but one thing that I still think that they can add on is that defensive line. Joey Bosa, great. Khalil Mack, great. Together, insane. Sebastian Joseph Day has been productive, but I think you could add another option in that middle at defensive tackle, and I've seen it mocked a lot, and I think it's a great fit. And it's Jordan Davis, defensive tackle out of Georgia. Huge guy. Absolutely destroyed the combine with his numbers. I like what this guy can do. He's, uber athletic. And, ultimately, Brandon Staley running this defense now with what they have in Asante Samuel, J.C. Jackson, Kenneth Murray, Derwin James, in this defensive line that I've talked about heavily with this pick. Adding in Jordan Davis, I mean, oh my God, what a situation this would create for every team that the LA Chargers face going up against next season. I think this is a good pick here. Jordan Davis, defensive tackle out of Georgia, coming in to the LA Chargers would be a great scenario, a great landing spot. Jordan Davis, honestly, at 17 is a steal. I could see Jordan Davis easily being a top 15 guy, maybe knocking on the door of top 10 caliber prospect. Getting him at 17, Brandon Staley will love seeing him fall there. He did add a defensive tackle in free agency. I was a little bit worried about this one, but I'm going to keep it here. I like this, situation. I like the scheme fit for Jordan Davis teaming up with Brandon Staley and the rest of that defensive line and, just straight up going to work on day one is a good fit for this team. Now we have the New Orleans Saints. And the New Orleans Saints last year really stumped me during my NFL draft extravaganza last year, our live NFL draft show, by taking Peyton Turner, a guy who I hardly did any research on, was a huge left field pick by the New Orleans Saints, and that's how they always are. Always unpredictable of what they can do. Many people have mocked quarterback here by the Saints, but they did re-sign Jameis Winston. They gave him a lot of guarantees to a two-year extension. I don't see them drafting a quarterback here because I think with 2 years and a lot of guarantees on Jameis Winston, they're banking on him being their starting quarterback going forward and coming back and being healthy, a guy who was 5-2 as a starter last season. A lot of people have talked about wide receiver maybe here at 18 for the New Orleans Saints, Chris Olave, that's still on the board, a Jameson Williams perhaps. teaming up with Michael Thomas, who's expected to come back next year. I don't know. I don't know what the Saints are going to do. And honestly, this might be the one where it's just completely out of left field. Oh, man. Just looking at it here and my options I have, trying to fit for the Saints. This isn't a need, but I think it's one that the Saints could like going forward long term. I'm going to give them Zion Johnson. Could be the move here by the New Orleans Saints, going with an interior offensive lineman. It doesn't fit the need that they have on the offensive line. They still need an offensive tackle after moving on from Teron Armstead. But I think Zion Johnson here could be the move that surprises a lot of people. I like Zion Johnson's game coming out of Boston College. Like I said, he's got the ideal frame to be an offensive guard. You know, not really much of what he did outside that position. He, you know, was used as a pulling guard a lot. I just don't know what the Saints are going to do. But I think Zion Johnson could be viewed as one of the most perfect prospects when you look at his position and you look at what he can do in the National Football League, to where I think the Saints can't pass this up. Adding in this depth on the offensive line is going to be key for this team going forward in protecting Jameis Winston. And I just don't think that there's a tackle right now where I think that they could try to, you know, snag. And in my opinion, I go with the safer prospect in Zion Johnson. Let things play out farther down the road and replacing Teron Armstead. Try to work that out towards training camp. Maybe try to bring a guy in free agency here at the tail end of it. But I think Zion Johnson is just too perfect of a prospect to pass up here by the New Orleans Saints. So now we got the Eagles third time around at 19. What do they do here with their third pick in this year's draft? I had them going in. Oh, we're going to have double dip on the defense here. Oh, and I know Gio, the podcaster, you want the linebacker. Still two great linebackers on the board. We've yet to even, you know, dip into the linebacker market and the linebacker position group. But I think we're going to dip into the cornerback room again and go with the second cornerback, out of Washington in Kyler Gordon. Kyler Gordon is a guy who is an opportunistic defensive back. I think pairing him up on that defensive unit with big play Slay would just lead to a lot of big turnovers for this Philadelphia Eagles defense. I like this pick by the Eagles. You know, adding in another cornerback to go alongside Darius Slay really rounds out that position and makes sure that they have what they want long term at that position. Kyler Gordon's just an aggressive play style at cornerback. You put him on the outside, he's fluid, got excellent speed, very instinctive in off coverage. And honestly, just a perfect comp and, you know, perfect duo alongside Darius Slay. So big play Slay now with big play Kyler Gordon, as well as the Eagles round out their first round with George Karlaftis, Drake London, and Kyler Gordon. I think is a, you know, slam dunk top three picks by the Philadelphia Eagles to get out of the first round with three premier guys that can impact their, you know, two guys that can impact their defense. One guy that fills a major need on offense. Eagles fans have to love this first round shakeup right here I have for the Philadelphia Eagles. So now we have the Atlanta Falcons after trading back with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They moved back, acquired a first round pick for next year, building that arsenal in terms of making a run at a quarterback next year. However, they still have a huge need on offense. That's not the quarterback position, and they need a wide receiver. Bad. I mean, honestly, I could have had them, staying at 8 and taking a wide receiver. But my first mock draft, I had them taking a wide receiver at 8. That's still on the board here at 20. And we're going to go with Treylon Burks out of Arkansas. You know, after losing Calvin Ridley to suspension, there's a desperate need. And, you know, also losing Russell Gage in free agency, Treylon Burks will immediately step in. And this is a guy who has upside if he's in the right situation, and I think Arthur Smith can use him really well, getting the ball in his hands, running a lot of some screen plays that he ran a lot of in Arkansas, ultimately getting him the ball. This guy's got the speed to take a top off of defense, could, at best be your number one receiver, but I think a duo of Treylon Burks with Kyle Pitts will do wonders for Marcus Mariota in this new offense going into next season. He's a big physical guy, outstanding run after the catch. Like I said, just put the ball in his hands. Can run a, you know, raw, you know, his route tree is, you know, wide and, you know, various, very fluid guy. I think he can do even more at the next level from what we saw in Arkansas. If you put him in the right situation and with the right playmaker, ideally I would love to see him with, you know, a Kyle Shanahan type offense, you know, maybe a Matt LaFleur type offense in Green Bay. But I think it also works with an Arthur Smith type offense in Atlanta. So trading back, still getting their guy here at 20 and adding in another first round pick would be a good situation for the Atlanta Falcons and one I like here for my second mock draft. So next up, we got the New England Patriots, and we got to go with a Bill Belichick type pick. First time around, I had Jameson Williams out of Alabama getting a wide receiver. But when do the Patriots, outside N'Keal Harry, spend big and early on a wide receiver? Instead, I'm going to go with a defensive guy here. We talked about it with the Eagles. We haven't dipped into this position yet. Let's take the first linebacker off the board. And I'm going to give the Patriots Devin Lloyd out of Utah. I like Devin Lloyd's game. I honestly think he is the perfect fit for the Patriots defense, for Bill Belichick's defense. This guy is uber smart, you know, crazy intelligent. He's already a leader at Utah. I think he can easily be a leader in year one for the Patriots defense. They moved on from Kyle Van Noy, Dont'a Hightower, Jamie Collins. Let me go on at at linebacker. Huge need there by the Patriots. And this is the Patriots pick. This is a Patriot pick in the first round in Devin Lloyd. He's a rangy linebacker, very productive, very versatile, very intelligent. Exactly what Bill Belichick looks for a prospect and for a defensive player that he would love to have. So we'll give him Devin Lloyd, 21, to the New England Patriots, first linebacker off the board. Let's keep it moving. Now, next up, my Green Bay Packers. And last year, I famously and notoriously held up the sign on draft day, get Rodgers help. And instead, the Packers went out in the first round, took Eric Stokes out of Georgia. Turned out to be a great player on the defense, one I'm excited to see develop more alongside Rasul Douglas and Jaire Alexander, the best trio at cornerback in the National Football League. But this time, it's got to happen. Get Rodgers help. After trading Devontae Adams, the wide receiver room in the Green Bay Packers is slim picking. Let's give him a guy here. Chris Olave out of Ohio State to the Green Bay Packers at 21. Comes in and is the new top wide receiver coming out of the draft. I do think the Green Bay Packers, it's not going to be the first. It's not going to be the first or last wide receiver the Green Bay Packers add to their offense from now until the start of training camp. I do think one move potentially gets made at wide receiver between now and April. Maybe some stuff later in the draft. You know, round two, day two, a guy I like for the Packers is Christian Watson a lot. I think would be a great fit for Matt LaFleur's offense. But Chris Olave here at 22 would be a great fit as well. Thanks to this pick coming in from the Raiders after the Devontae Adams trade. Chris Olave, just an absolute insane vertical threat. One of the best vertical threats in the draft this year. This guy, his ball tracking skills are absolutely incredible. And that's what Aaron Rodgers loves in his wide receivers, a guy who can track the ball. You look at Alan Lazard when he gets, you know, targets downfield, when Marquez Valdes-Scantling gets targets downfield before he went off and signed with the Chiefs earlier this week. But during his time in Green Bay, Devontae Adams, same way. Jordy Nelson was the same way back in his time in Green Bay. Rodgers loves guys who downfield can, you know, have that instinct, whatever, that it factor, to track the ball and make plays deep downfield, let Rodgers show off that arm he has. Chris Olave will be the guy that can be that new explosive, you know, option on this offense for the Packers that they're missing now in the speed department. Chris Olave offers that for the Green Bay Packers, and I think this is a great pick. I love it personally. Let's hope it happens for Packers fans out there. Chris Olave at 22. To the Green Bay Packers, their first of two first-round picks in this year's draft. Next up, we have the Arizona Cardinals. And honestly, there's a guy on the board right now who a lot of people had in the easy top 15 mark, and we're sitting at 23. How's he on the board? Because that's what the Cardinals do. They always get the gems. How do they fall every single year? Zaven Collins was the same way last year. The year before, Isaiah Simmons was an absolute freak coming into the draft, and he fell a little bit. You know, may not have worked out in his rookie year, was trying to build it back up in his second year last year. But again, Isaiah Simmons, when he was drafted by the Cardinals, everyone was saying, how did he end up here? Last year, I felt the same way with Zaven Collins. How was he on the board for the Arizona Cardinals? Guess what? They do it again here, adding to the defensive line, a guy who, when I write this in, you're going to say, wow, he was still on the board. We're going to go with Jermaine Johnson out of Florida State. How is Jermaine Johnson still on the board? Because that's what they do. The Arizona Cardinals always find the gems that fall. So Jermaine Johnson the second going to the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals they're coming out of the first round with an edge. I don't care who it is. They're coming out of this first round with an edge or a cornerback. Someone to go alongside Byron Murphy or someone to go alongside J.J. Watt on the defensive line. I think the pressing need here is someone on the defensive line after losing Chandler Jones. You got to find a way to replace that type of production on your defensive line if you want to get back into the playoffs next season. Jermaine Johnson at Florida State is that guy. And again, how is he here? We don't know. But it always happens. And I think he's the guy that falls. And everyone is kicking themselves for letting this happen. Jermaine Johnson to the Arizona Cardinals. So now we got the Dallas Cowboys next up here. And I see two options with, you know, the way our board's situated, who we've brought in here. For the Dallas Cowboys to look at two routes. I think one way they could go could be a linebacker, potentially N'Kobe Dean out of Georgia, but they did bring back Leighton Vander Esch. I just really like the idea of bringing in a different linebacker in the Dallas after losing Randy Gregory, and so that way you can move Micah Parsons, the reigning defensive rookie of the year, move him back into the edge where he is best fit with, you know, his talent. But I do think the prior and desperate need and most desirable need here for the Dallas Cowboys is replacing Lael Collins on the offensive line. So let's go ahead and do that here with the guy we had in our first mock draft. We're going to keep him here in the second. Bernard Raimann is a guy that I think could be a huge addition to this Dallas Cowboys team. Will really open up what they want to do on offense in terms of the run game with Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. This guy is a beast in the run game. Hands down, not even looking at pass protection. And the run game, that's where he strives. Bernard Raimann out of Central Michigan. But I do think he has the option in pass pro and pass protection to try to alleviate some of what was lost from Lael Collins. I don't think he's going to be as impactful straight off the bat, but I do think that's a desperate need that they need to fill. And Bernard Raimann gives them the opportunity to do so while tapping into some of what they want to do on offense and helping bring back the Cowboys for what, you know, toward what they want to be in terms of trying to make a run next year in the NFC Conference again. So Bernard Raimann, we had it the first time. We'll have it the second time again to the Dallas Cowboys, filling that pressing need at the tackle position. Next up, we have the Buffalo Bills, another team in free agency who has made a lot of noise, especially Von Miller. I mean, that contract they gave to Von Miller was absolutely insane, but they still made a couple moves on the offensive line that they added in. I think they could be in the market for another wide receiver to go alongside Stephon Diggs. I don't think they do that here. I think they go on defense. They're not going to go defensive line. What do the Buffalo Bills? I mean, they're stacked at safety. The linebackers are great. They need cornerback depth. They desperately need some cornerback depth. That's something that, you know, honestly stopped them from going to the Super Bowl last year was the lack of depth at the cornerback position after losing Tre'Davious White. We're gonna go with it. They're gonna go with the quarterback here out of Clemson. Give them Andrew Here we go. Andrew Booth here to the Buffalo Bills. Write it in. Andrew Booth Jr. to the Buffalo Bills. I like this fit. This guy is he's a different type of corner than Tre'Davious White. And I think, honestly, that might prove well as a good compliment for Tre'Davious White at the cornerback position. But like I said, fills a need. He's, you know, an athletic guy, and, you know, a great option in press coverage for the Buffalo Bills. Just the athleticism. He's giving the balls in front of him. Has some costly misses. You know, looking at my scouting report, that is something I do remember watching, the costly misses. But honestly, this is a depth piece. A depth piece for a championship-type roster where you just pick the guy that fills the biggest need in your depth, and that's the cornerback position. I think Andrew Booth will be a guy who is a perfect complement with his size, with his athleticism, with the way he operates in press coverage, to be able to come in and be, you know, a guy that in short yardage situations can press, you know, in the red zone, can press wide receivers off the line of scrimmage, pretty much eliminate them from the game and eliminate them from the play will be something that the Buffalo Bills will need. And I mean, the depth is what killed them on defense, especially in the secondary last year against the Kansas City Chiefs on that final drive. So I think the Buffalo Bills have to add on to that, and Andrew Booth gives them a good way to do so. Next up, we got the Tennessee Titans and some interesting options the Titans can do here. They do need some help on the interior of their offensive line in replacing Roger Saffold. They do need some help in the secondary. But there is a guy I do really like. And honestly, he feels like a Titans pick. A guy who, oh man, the Titans love risks. They love their risky picks that hopefully will pay off. They did it last year. Oh man, and Caleb Farley, they did it the year before on the offensive line. I do like this guy, and I do think he could be a good fit, but he's a defensive lineman out of Minnesota, Boye Mafe. I like the fit in Tennessee, but they did re-sign Harold Landry. They got Jeff Simmons on the defensive line. They have, you know, pieces on the defensive line. He's a guy that could be a project, potentially. But I do like the fit, and I'm going to go with it. Boye Mafe. Out of Minnesota, is a guy who a lot of people might not consider going to the Titans with this pick, but Boye Mafe is the guy I think that they take a risk on. The Tennessee Titans love taking their risk in the first round. They don't take your, you know, ideal, you know, what you expect them to do every single time they draft. I think Boye Mafe could be that next guy. He's an enticing prospect. He's a guy you do have to invest in, but the Tennessee Titans have the depth, you know, or the not the depth, but the quality starters in place, the, you know, cornerstones in place on that defensive line, and, you know, at the, you know, being pass rushers on that defense for the Titans, to where this is a guy that they invest in. They invest in Boye Mafe for the long run. I love him as a prospect, and I love this fit for the Tennessee Titans. So while it's not a pressing need, I think this is the one that they would love to be a guy that can come in and rush the passer come playoff time next season for the Tennessee Titans. So I'm sticking with it. It's down. It's written down. It's in stone. We're going to stick with it. Boye Mafe to the Tennessee Titans. Next up, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady returning to the Buccaneers, and with him came back all of the free agents. Who would have expected that? All re-signing in Tampa Bay. Oh, but they do need help on the offensive line. They lost two guards, one to retirement, one in free agency. They did bring back Ryan Jensen. They need help at safety after losing Jordan Whitehead. But I think they go with a offensive lineman. I had it the first time. Oh, we're going to have to stick with it. The Buccaneers will be wise to do this, and I think this is a move they go in. We're going to give them Trevor Penning. Here with this pick, I think Trevor Penning being a bookend tackle, pairing in nicely with Tristan Wirfs from 2 years ago would be the ideal pick here if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You got Tom Brady for another year, maybe more, but this guy out of Northern Illinois could be the guy that teaming up with Tristan Wirfs would be just a perfect fit together for this offensive line going forward. I love the fit. And, you know, again, because I had it the first time, I'm going to have it the second time. I love this fit here for the Buccaneers. Even after the Tom Brady era is over in Tampa Bay, they're going to need to make sure this offensive line is as stout for whoever the next quarterback coming in is. You know, if it's Baker Mayfield potentially being the successor to Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, they're going to need to make sure they have a stout offensive line in place, and it starts at the tackle position. Ryan Jensen's locked up long-term. Tristan Wirfs, you still have that you're eventually going to give him a long-term contract, you know, being a franchise guy going forward. Why not add another franchise guy at the other tackle spot here in Trevor Penning, a guy I like here and a good fit for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Next up, we have my Green Bay Packers round two in the first round. Going up for the second time, Brian Gutekunst. What does he do this time after getting their wide receiver in Chris Olave? Does he double dip? Does he double dip at getting Rodgers' help? Maybe a Jamison Williams on the board here. I don't see it. I don't see a double dip. You know, even one receiver, I think, is enough to slow down a little bit on the Green Bay Packers. I do think there's still some defensive help they can go with here. Maybe a defensive tackle. I do like a Devontae Wyatt. Could be a good fit. They did just bring in a defensive tackle to go alongside Kenny Clark, a veteran guy. The cornerback room set, like I said, top trio in the league at cornerback in the Green Bay Packers. They could go offensive line here. But I do like the fit of one guy in particular still on the board, and it's going to be at linebacker. And it's not one I've seen mocked a lot for the Green Bay Packers. They did bring back Devondre Campbell on a five-year deal, but the depth at linebacker is slim thin behind Devondre Campbell, the reigning all-pro linebacker. So I think Brian goes with an ideal prospect here, in my opinion. We're going to give him N'Kobe Dean out of Georgia, a guy I like at linebacker. I think tag-teaming with Devondre Campbell will honestly give the Packers one of the best linebacker duos they've had in years. And this will span the next half decade, with Devondre Campbell being now in a five-year contract. Adding in N'Kobe Dean on a rookie deal is the guy I'm excited about. He's a little bit undersized, but his instincts and playmaking are off the charts, and there's not a lot of buzz about him. I think the Packers, you know, they constantly take guys there's not a lot of buzz about that Brian Gutekunst looks hard at. Last year, Eric Stokes came out of left field a little bit toward the tail end of the first round. I think he goes back into this Georgia pipeline, and N'Kobe Dean at linebacker to tag team with Devondre Campbell on this Packers defense. Give Joe Barry another, you know, weapon to weaponize here in the run game. He's great. He's quick to fill holes. Great at tackling. Exactly what the Packers need in terms of speed and range on defense in that, you know, middle part, that second level in the run game that keeps gashing them time and time again. You know, when the Packers inevitably have to play the 49ers again in the playoffs next year, they need a guy who's a sideline-to-sideline type linebacker, who's instinctive, who gets after the running backs, and has the speed to catch up with the speed that they have in San Francisco and, you know, outside in the rest of the NFC as well. They need a guy that can get after the running back, and I think N'Kobe Dean will be that guy to tag team alongside Devondre Campbell. So next up, we have the Kansas City Chiefs, first of two picks back-to-back here for the Chiefs. This one from the Miami Dolphins after trading Tyreek Hill, and he's on the board. He's got the speed. Let's give it to him. Jamison Williams going to the Kansas City Chiefs. This is a little late, I think, for Jamison Williams out of Alabama. This is a guy who could, if it wasn't for the ACL, this guy would be the top wide receiver in this year's draft. Just the absolute speed that he has. I did talk about how Chris Olave, I think, is the best downfield threat in this year's class, but I think Jamison Williams, if he comes back fully healthy from this ACL tear and gets his speed back in his game, is the fastest guy in this year's class. We, you know, unfortunately couldn't see him at the, you know, combine. I think he easily would have had the fastest 40. This guy's explosive. He's tall. he's devastating at the second level, and he reaches his top speed. But there are some things he needs to clean up. But I think in this offense, with Patrick Mahomes, he has the opportunity to where he just comes off the line, hits a double move, hits that top speed, and is gone. And who better to give him that ball in that situation than Patrick Mahomes? It's hard to replicate speed, one of the hardest things to replace in the National Football League. But the Chiefs bringing in Marquez Valdes-Scantling from Green Bay Packers and now drafting Jameson Williams out of Alabama, they now add two guys who have ridiculous game-changing speed to their offense for a fraction of the price of what they would have had to pay Tyreek Hill to be that option in their offense. They now have two of them to go alongside Juju Smith-Schuster, Travis Kelce at tight end. This is great. This is a great pick by the Kansas City Chiefs and a great start. Let me flip this here. We had it in the wrong spot. First pick, Jameson Williams from their Miami pick. The pick that they traded Tyreek Hill for, they take their guy that they would hope to replace him in Jameson Williams. It's going to be a while till he comes back from rehabbing from this ACL tear suffered in the national championship game. But, the Chiefs. It's the Chiefs. He'll be back by playoff time and be a difference maker once it's time to go for the Chiefs next season. So now coming in here, second pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. Back up on the board. They got their new wide receiver on offense. The rest of their offense, I like how it's shaped up. Running back is still iffy, but I don't think any running backs are worthy enough to go in the first round this year, especially to try to replace Clyde Edwards-Helaire right off the bat. So we're going to look to defense now for the Chiefs with their second pick in the first round. Safety could be an option here. They did bring in Justin Reed, but also as of today lost Daniel Sorensen. He finally left in free agency and got signed today. So we could go safety, but I think the more pressing need for this Chiefs defense has to be at cornerback. That's a bone-thin position for them. So we're going to go with a guy out of Florida here, a Florida Gator, Kiar Elam, at cornerback for the Kansas City Chiefs. Kiar Elam, we had him going much earlier in our first mock draft, but I think he hasn't got that much buzz, but it's a player I do like, and I can see the Chiefs falling in love with to add to that defense and add into that secondary, again, a position that they desperately need. So tag teaming, first, back-to-back picks, Jameson Williams and Kiar Elam for the Kansas City Chiefs, two great 1-2 hits in the first round. The one thing I do like about Kiar Elam, that real quick I was trying to pull up here from my scouting report, combination of length and strength needed to reroute opponents. You talk about the wide receiver rooms that they have in that AFC West division, bringing in Devontae Adams, bringing in Hunter Renfrow, Hunter Renfrow and Devontae Adams with the Raiders, the Chargers, you got Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. You got the Denver Broncos with Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, and Jerry Jeudy there with Russell Wilson throwing in the ball. The Chiefs are going to need some desperate help in the secondary to try to keep these guys in check, especially once it comes to playoff time. Some of these top receivers are going to be facing. Talk about Cincinnati, the trio that they have over there, the Buffalo Bills with Steph Diggs. A lot of talent at the wide receiver position in the AFC conference with these top tier teams, and the Chiefs need someone that can help try to defend that. Kiar Elam, great pick here to round out their first round with back-to-back picks. I like this pick by the Chiefs and both these picks, honestly, but Jameson Williams, I do think if he's there, immediate lock to the Chiefs with that first pick. They're going to immediately snag him, come back around with a guy like Kiar Elam. Next up, we have the Cincinnati Bengals, and we're going to go with the same pick we had with them the first time. You got to go with Tyler Linderbaum out of Iowa, the top center in this year's class, one of the top interior offensive linemen in this year's class. I could easily see Tyler Linderbaum going a little bit higher than Cincinnati, but I think with the situation that we presented ourselves with our mock draft right here, he's there, and you have to take him if you're Cincinnati. I get that they've done a lot of work in the offseason building that offensive line. They brought in a guy who can easily step in and potentially start at center. They added in Lael Collins. They made a lot of work and a lot of interest at this position and at this unit on the offensive line. I don't think they're done. I think the wise move here would be protecting Joe Burrow even more and adding in Tyler Linderbaum here would be a great pick out of Iowa. This is a guy who, as you know, super athletic. He has all the intangibles you would want and just adds even more depth that they will need on this offensive line that cost them a Super Bowl back in February against the LA Rams. They got to get that corrected. Keep building the offensive line around Joe Burrow. You do it here with Tyler Linderbaum if he is on the board at 31. So now we're at 32, the last pick in our mock draft 2.0. I like how this board shaped up this time around compared to our first time. I like all these picks. Oh, so many great fits, but we got to wrap it up with the Detroit Lions. First pick, Malik Willis up here out of Liberty. They got their franchise quarterback. Instead of going with, you know, a top-tier defensive prospect, instead of going with another tackle to tag alongside Penei Sewell on the offensive line, but now here, I think they did, you know, the talent's off the board at tackle. I don't think you try to sneak another one here in the back end of this first round. So let's go with a defensive pick. Defensive pick here for the Detroit Lions. And I don't see which edge rusher leaps off the board, in my opinion, to come in the back end of this first round. So we're going to go with a guy who Dan Campbell is going to force his hand here at the end of this first round and force his hand onto Brad Holmes to select the guy that he loves, in my opinion. This guy has all the traits needed. He just screams Dan Campbell. With what he's building with his team, the energy, you know, aggressive guys, smart, and you know, aggressive but smart, super intelligent guys that he's looking to add to his team and his roster in Detroit. This is a guy that I think would be a great fit and could squeak in here in the back end of the first round. We're going to go with Lewis Cine out of Georgia, a guy who may be undersized at the position. There's a, you know, a lot of things to consider with this guy, and he's not, you know, in my opinion, not one of my top safeties that I have, but at 199, this guy doesn't play like it. This guy has the heart of a Detroit Lion. He is super physical. In the, you know, playing the run, he reacts very quickly. He lays pops time and time again. He's a physical tackler. He doesn't play like 199. I get that he's small, for his size. He, you know, doesn't have the frame that you would want him to have, being, you know, a big, you know, hard-hitting safety that he is. But he is smart. This guy's Wunderlich test was out of the park at the NFL Combine. He's shown, you know, in meetings with teams, he is intelligent. This guy is super intelligent, and teams love him. Scouts love him. General managers are going to love him, and this just screams Dan Campbell to me at the back end of the first round. Lewis Cine out of Georgia at safety coming in, being, you know, the top guy now on that defense for the Detroit Lions in the secondary. I like this pick. I think this would be a great way to end the first round for the Detroit Lions. So there it is, our 2.0 Slaw Sports Show NFL mock draft for the 2022 NFL draft right here before you, right down from picks 1 to 32, even threw in a trade. Look at this, even threw in our own trade in this mock draft. But I love the picks here. I love the situation that, you know, we're able to make for some of these teams with some of these picks. I think this would be a great way for the first round to go and end up. So that's all we have. Thank you all for joining me. I hope you guys enjoyed the first round of our 2022 NFL Mock Draft 2.0. Thank you guys all for watching. We're going to keep things pumping out each week with shows. So we'll see you next Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or if you're over here on the Pacific Coast, like me, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time as well. NFL Mock Draft. Mock draft, draft season, it's upon us. I'm excited, getting pumped up, and ready to go for April. Draft show, either here or on One-on-One Sports. We'll see what happens. But hopefully, we get things rolling and get to have another great draft extravaganza for the second year in a row here on the Slaw Sports Show. But thank you all for watching, and until next time, peace.